You're tuned into the Awakening Zone Radio Network, your news and information source for empowered spiritual awakening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to New Energy Birthing. We are so happy that you have joined us today. We have a really special show, and we're really excited to present this to you. I am Kathleen Reading Haas, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Vesta.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
And it's so nice to be here today. Just let me mention, if you have found us on Blog Talk Radio, we invite you to come over to awakeningzone.com where you can listen, as well as you can ask questions right in the chat room. You can call in because there's a call-in number, and you can chat with other listeners. So it's really fun to listen to the show on awakeningzone.com. And you'll also find a lot of other interesting and very enlightening shows here on awakeningzone.com. So we're really happy to have you here today. We are presenting our second show in this new series of New Energy Birthing, and we really are so pleased to have this opportunity to talk about birthing in this way. New energy birthing, for those that are listening for the first time, it's about conscious birthing. It's about making free and open choices all the way, even preconception. And it is also a big part of new energy birthing is making a pre-birth connection with your incoming child. Our first show explains a lot about the work that we do with this new energy birthing. It comes from material called Dreamwalker Birth, and we talk about the work of the spiritual birth connector or spiritual doula. And I would refer you back to our first show. We cover a lot of ground where we really give the background of where this material came from and the importance of it in the birthing experience. So you can search for our show by the host or in the archives, and so I invite you to listen to our first show. We have today some very special people that we're going to talk to in a few minutes. And I will speak as slowly as I can. I get excited. Thank you for a lovely reminder from Reyesa. I will speak as I will speak slowly. Thank you. I get so excited. My eyes speed up. And So let's get started.
Okay. And we are starting with some breathing. We're going to hear Kathleen doing some breathing with us, so I invite all of you to just relax and take a nice position and get ready to dive into the breath with Kathleen.
Wonderful, thank you. Breathing is a big part of what we do. It is such a very important part of the connection work that we do. And to create this space for this show today, I invite everyone, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening at another time, it is all the same. I invite you wherever you are, whatever time of day, wherever you are in your home, to just stop and take a moment. Take a nice, deep, and conscious breath for you. It is a gift that you give yourself. It is a way of gathering yourself all together in the present moment. Taking that nice deep breath, and this breath is never forced, but rather you open a space within you and you allow this breath to sink very, very in you. Every breath is a gift. It is a gift of presence. It's a gift that says, I am here in this moment. And when we breathe together like this, we create a beautiful space. We call it the safe space. This is a space of compassion. This is a space of sharing. And this is a space of presence and invitation. So thank you for being here and lending your breath to this space as we begin this wonderful time of sharing with our guest today. Thank you, everyone. We have with us Maya Lesto and Ruben Proust. They are extraordinary people. I hear
and they are online.
They are parents. So you are going to hear from time to time, you may hear a little baby. Maya is from Finland, and Ruben is from the Netherlands, but they are currently have made a home in the south of France where they live with their two little boys. They are both Crimson Circle teachers. They both teach the Sexual Energy School and Aspectology. And Maya is a mentor teacher, and Ruben is also a new breath teacher. So we are thrilled to have them today. And is it Maya that I have right here?
We can try. Is it me?
Is it you, Maya?
Yes, it's you. It is I.
Hello. Oh, thank you.
Hi, Kathleen.
So,
hi, Reta.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It is really a pleasure to have our listeners, whether listening now or whether they listen later, to really hear from parents who have chosen this way of birthing. And as Maya and I have talked, and Ruben and I have talked before, this is how they have created their experience. This is not, when they present their experience, it is not that everyone else has to do it this way. This is what they have chosen. This is how they have created it together in their partnership. And we never want to say that this is the only way to do this, but this is their way they have created bringing in their children, a very open and conscious birth. So, Maya, if you're ready, we would love to ask you a few questions. Are you ready to go?
I am absolutely ready to go. It's a huge pleasure to be on your show.
Good. Oh, great.
Good.
So, Maya, you are both with Ruben, you are quite experienced working with energy and even bringing in a child in a conscious way. So can you tell a little bit of the reasons why you chose to work with a doula when bringing in this new child that you have?
Sure. In a way, for us, it was an obvious choice. I mean, we have a background with the Crimson Circle, and we had listened to the birth materials, the Dreamwalker birth materials, for us, ourselves. And then when we got pregnant, it seemed to be that obviously, and of course, we're going to have a doula with us.
Okay.
So it was a clear choice. We didn't really have to think about it.
Okay.
This wouldn't be the... Oh, this is Emil, by the way.
Hello.
He's wanted to participate.
And I think because you do say that you are quite familiar with the materials, you could have done it for yourself. You could have done it without the assistance of an doula. So
that's true.
I think people would be interested to know, since you know so much about the material and you are a teacher, why, even with all that, did you choose to have a duet?
Well, I have my favorite quotation that I quote myself for it, is you can drive a car yourself, but sometimes it's just a bit of luxury to take a taxi or to take a limo. It's a luxury. It's something that helps you. You can just let go of the driving and the deciding and doing everything by yourself and let someone else help you. Because a pregnancy, it's massive. It's huge. It's a really big undertaking. And maybe because I know this is so, I wanted the extra help, so to say.
Okay.
Perfect. Perfect.
Thank you.
And would you say that Reuben felt the same way, is just really welcoming the assistance?
Sorry, I couldn't hear the question. Could you please repeat?
That Reuben feels much the same way as you, that he wanted the assistance and welcomed the assistance as well.
Absolutely. This was a choice we made together. I mean, this is an endeavor that we took together. We chose to do this. And for us, it was a cold choice, so to say. We wanted to go on this journey together. It was never only my choice or only his choice. And he also, as an energy worker, he knows the benefits you can have when you have someone to assist you with creating a space for breathing, for opening, for experiencing. He knows that too, just as I do. So,
perfect. And you talk a lot about conscious choice. I mean, you talk a lot about the choosing that you both did, and you did it very much from a place of partnership. And this is new for some, to be able to really understand that you can make choices all along the way. I mean, it was a conscious choice to conceive. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And this is especially so with us, with the second child. We had a little doula with our first child also. But especially now with the second one, it was absolutely and definitely a very conscious choice to bring in this one. And we made the whole process a conscious process. So we chose to have this baby or this soul in. We chose to conceive it in a conscious way. And then the whole pregnancy, we also were conscious of all the things that are involved. So
that's right. And probably the biggest choice that you make once all of that is in motion is, who do you want to bring in? Who do you want to host for a lifetime? And so I would ask you if you really felt that the choice was made by you and Reuben, but also by your little one, if you felt that he chose to come to you as well.
Yes, actually, I suppose, there's no 100% certainty in the mind way, but my main feeling for now, and that was also during the whole process, was that he initially chose us.
Mm-hmm.
It was his choice, and he contacted me, so to say. I felt his presence already 3 years ago, and it was clear to me that, okay, there is this soul being who would like to join our family, but it wasn't time yet. And after the birthing of our first child, and after living a while, he contacted us again and said, or messaged somehow, that this would be a good time for him to come in. So in a way, yes, it was his choice, but then at that stage it was also our choice to say yes, we will choose to have you as a part of our family. It's not like we know exactly who this soul being is. We had hunches and we had ideas, and we made connection and we heard the message. We heard the question, would you please host me? But it seems that we're still in the process of discovering who he really is.
Yes. And I think you make a really important point that the invitation really comes from both ways, from the soul being coming in and also from the host parents, that the choice to make this particular connection comes from invitation. He invited you to take a look and say, would you host me? And you invited him in before you made that clear, conscious choice. Yes, it is a good match. We are happy to do this, and we're happy to do it at this time. And that is not an unusual story, as I have talked to many parents. Many feel that there has been a soul being who has really taken a look at them as their first choice to come in. And it is a beautiful insight that you have as a parent. Someone is taking a look at you and someone has chosen you. And it does set it up quite differently to have that understanding. Thank you for sharing that piece of that. There's another, the doula work, the dreamwalker birth, the conscious way of bringing in a child, there's a lot of really amazing potentials in there. And one potential that some parents choose to work with and others are not quite as drawn or not as ready to work with it is choosing the date, the actual day that you want to give birth. And I should tell people that I'm very familiar with Reuben and Maya's story of their second birth because I was very honored to be their doula. So
yes.
I have a pretty clear memory and involvement in that. And I remember the process that we went through about choosing the date. Now, for those of us brand new, this is not just waiting till your body goes into labor and just, oh, that's the day the baby came. This is making a conscious choice quite a bit before the birth, actually, of saying, this is the day I would like to have this baby. So can you tell me a little bit about your experience with that? It was really pretty fun.
it was a lot of fun. And in the end, it turned out to be a bit of a game in a way. And even with the kind of consciousness that I know that I have, you would imagine that, yeah, you'll just go ahead and you choose a date and then you say, ta-da, that's it, and it's going to be so. part of the awareness I have is also understanding that, well, okay, it doesn't always go that way. It's not about forcing it. It's not about foreseeing it or predicting it. It's not about saying, okay, I make this choice now, and then it's going to be so. It was relatively long play of feeling into, okay, so this is approximately the due date, which was really an approximate because we never went to an ultra scan. We never saw a midwife until just before the third trimester. So we didn't really have the official information. We had what I knew and Ruben knew for a fact when he was conceived. So I did the math.
Yes.
I did some Googling, and I did some calculations, and I ended up with something in the spring, more or less. And so we thought, okay, it's going to be a fine end of March birth, springtime, and it's approximately here. But when we started listening into which actual date it could be, and then you encouraged us to, okay, start thinking about choosing a date. I was like, okay, choose a date, choose a date, choose a date, choose a date. Okay, what do we base this choice on? And so there was a lot of going here with it and going there with it, and then we decided, okay, this is it. It's going to be, I don't remember what the first one was, maybe the 29th of March. And we chose that, and we say, okay, this is it. And we listened to the incoming soul and thought, okay, yeah, it sounds good, it feels good, we'll take this. But then it started changing, and I don't know if it's us changing or if it was the incoming soul also changing or changing the date, or whether it was something in the surrounding energies that changed, but it changed a few times after that. And we really had to feel into it and how we found the final date and how we kind of locked it based on feeling a freshness. We picked a date
yeah.
and it felt fresh. It felt green and it felt yellow and it felt fresh. And in a way, that potential was almost equal to the potential of the previous date, but there was a newness in it. There was a fun
yes.
element in it. It wasn't just, okay, this is a safe energy in this date, or this feels good. No, it felt fresh, new, and fun. And this was what we wanted also. And it happened to be the 4th of April, 2014. And that's a lot of fours.
That is
and
a
we
lot
kinda
of
like
fours.
That.
Yes. And I'm just because I worked with them, I would also have people know that because you understand that you are hosting a being for a lifetime, that you and Ruben have such a respectful feeling and around all of this. You were you never wanted to force your choice if it didn't. If you felt like the incoming child wasn't on board with it, didn't agree with it. So I felt all along your respect for him coming in and that you didn't want to force it. But there did come a time, and I listened very carefully to when you started feeling around the date of the 4th, and I felt what you felt. I felt
yeah.
when you said, feels fresh. And so it's almost like, I don't know if you remember, I said, okay, well, let's do this one then. Let's lock it in. Apparently, you know, you're feeling something new. Let's do this. And
yeah.
we locked it in very carefully. And, well, did he come on that day?
He did.
He did.
He did.
He did, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, because we will
yeah.
talk a little bit about how unique your labor and delivery was. So that is a
yeah.
beautiful potential that they worked with.
And the actual date, it wasn't very far, because this is a concern for pregnant ladies, because of all the myths going around and all the not knowing about the due date, because there's always this talk about the due date, the due date, the due date.
Right.
And everyone knows that, okay, it can be plus, minus a month. actually. So it's pretty random.
Yes.
It's pretty random. And our chosen date was approximately a week after the calculated due date. So it didn't go too far from the physiological standpoint, what would have been the ready date.
That's right, and I think because it was within that parameter, that is part of the reason that it was a good feeling around it, because it was something that your body could work with as well. So
yes. So it wasn't just about this incoming soul. It was also me having to listen to what my body can do.
Absolutely.
And I really wanted something easy and graceful and beautiful and respectful for me and my body also. So I didn't want to stretch it.
Yes.
Okay. So you also chose to give birth at your home, the midwife.
Yes.
So can you share a little bit about how you came to that choice, and then what were the preparations you did before getting into the birth date?
Yeah, that was a curious choice in a way, because we live in France. And in France, it's not common at all. 95% of births take place in a hospital. But I just had this very strong urge and feeling that, okay, this is what I want to do, because I am not a huge fan of the hospital environment. And I am a huge fan of comfortable, easy, and I love my space. And if I love my space, this is the most comfortable place for me to give birth. For a hospital, I would have had to pack the bag and drive there, and it's actually an hour's drive from our place. Mm-hmm. And I somehow wanted to give birth in a place where I know for sure that the energies are beautiful, they're peaceful, they're safe. It is a family event. So our home, to me, felt like the optimal choice. This is not so for everyone, of course.
Sure.
But for
me,
and because this was my second child, I felt comfortable enough with the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did you, what sort of things did you do in your home to prepare everything for the labor?
Yeah, it wasn't too many things, but it involved finding the perfect midwives for it. It's very difficult in France, and I had to do a lot of Googling to find these angels. They were perfect for us. They agreed to do it, knowing that there might be some trouble for them if something happens. So it was a difficult thing for them, but we found them, and they felt comfortable with working with us, because they saw and they felt at some level that I was ready to do it. I could do it.
Okay.
And the preparations basically just involved purchasing some things that might be necessary, some homeopathic medicines and bits and bobs. It wasn't a lot in the physical.
Okay. How about the energetical?
Energetically or energy-wise, I would say that the only preparation we actually had to do and did was 1 hour before the contractions began. We sat in the birthing room, or in the space that we had dedicated as such. We sat there with Ruben. We sat there listening to some quiet music, and we were breathing, we were choosing, and that was the real preparation energetically for the space.
Okay.
We had done some breathing before that also, but that was the most important one.
Okay. Thank you.
I really do want to say how much they did prepare that space. Not only did they do the physical cleaning of it, and but I could feel that space when he was born. That it was such a welcoming space. It was one of the softest places to land for a baby that I have ever felt into. And I feel that you did a lot and were very consciously preparing a space for that baby to come rather than to walking into a space that wasn't yours. And as Maya said, this was their choice. They are not saying that a home birth is for everyone. It was their choice and the way that they wanted to create this birthing experience for them. So thank you. We thank you so much, and we will come back to you, Maya, but I would love to ask Ruben a couple of questions. Thanks.
Absolutely. I will fetch the daddy.
Okay.
I will fetch the daddy.
They are they have
daddy.
One phone.
Okay.
And they are
daddy phone.
They are
and they're having to pass off the phone today. So I will come on and get away from their computers so there's not a feedback. So we'll wait for Ruben to come on the line.
Here.
Hi, Ruben. How are you?
I'm here. I'm good.
Good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your willingness to share this birthing story, which is really, really a remarkable one. And
I think also that it's too cool to be true almost.
In the Dreamwalker birth and in working with an doula, you know from experience that the father has a little bit different role than in most traditional birthing scenarios. Fathers can feel somewhat removed from the whole process. Once the woman becomes pregnant, many fathers feel that they kind of step out of the way. So much focus is on the mother, and then the father joins at the time of birth and watches it all take place. That is the experience of many fathers. But in this way, in New Energy Birthing, can you share how you felt as a father and a partner as you created this experience of bringing in your son?
Well, let me tell you, Kathleen, I felt pregnant too.
Yes.
It was like I was carrying the child myself. My belly was expanding. And my brain went to mush at times. I had all these weird sensations, lots of feelings coming up, fluffy stuff, but also very violent feelings of, in a way, during pregnancy, I felt that both times I was being prepared. I was preparing myself emotionally and, well, not so much physically, of course. But I went through a kind of transformation process so I could be the best assistance when the child is there and during pregnancy. And there was really a kind of build-up towards that.
Mm-hmm. And in the connection process, all the breathing that we did with him, did you feel an equal and valuable partner in the connecting? In other words, did you feel that this one coming in, that your son was wanting to connect with you as as much as Maya?
Yes, I think so. At first, we didn't feel him as a son, but as a daughter. And there have been a few times that I actually felt and even saw a picture of the child coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And during the doula process, every day, the father also breathed with the child. And although I have to admit that I haven't been very doing it every day, I mean, I skipped a few times, more than a few times. Like I said, I had to deal with emotional changes in myself, and it didn't always allow a very clear connection. But at times there was this really clear image and feeling of heart connection.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that your breath was an important part of this, and whether or not you breathed every day or when you could, do you agree that it gave you something to do that was very valuable in the whole pregnancy part, where most fathers don't feel very involved at all?
Yeah, my role was absolutely a supporting role, helping the mother to breathe and connect, create the safe
mm-hmm.
space, and doing all the dishes and cooking and cleaning, and it all helps to create that space.
Yes, of course.
Especially now, the last few days before birth, I spent 3 whole days cleaning and breathing.
Yes, I remember that well, and your participation in that as a co-creator of this experience, as a co-connector with Emil, as a co-parent and a co-partner was very evident to me as your doula. And Maya expressed many times how it was such a partnership. And that is quite different than many women feel during pregnancy. They feel that they are doing the bigger part of it. But with your involvement, with the connection work, it changes that dynamic to where it's very much a co-creation. And that's how it felt to me working with you. That this was you were partners,
mm-hmm.
you were co-partners in this whole. And if during the times that you were breathing and getting these clear feelings about your child coming in, you mentioned a couple of times that you did feel him very close. I mean, very close to you. Is that correct?
Yes, not when I tried to do that, to accomplish that, but...
Right.
But at this spontaneous things, I think about the child and poof, it's there. I could feel it like I was holding it in my arms.
Mm.
And another time it was like we had a little rendezvous. Hello.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That he came to me to say hello, and this is me. And that was quite special.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think it's a beautiful example of how you made the connection in your way. It may not be exactly that way for everyone, but it was your way of connecting and his way of connecting with you. And it was very beautiful and quite unique to the two of you. But we're all very unique beings. We're not going to do it all the same. So that is, thank
no,
you.
Of course.
Thank you for sharing that.
I think it's a very, very nice example that father still can connect with the baby. It's what most fathers do when they are expecting a child. It's they hardly connect at all. They are missing out a lot. So fathers can get involved too and have a very special pregnancy also. So it was really lovely to hear your experience, Ruben.
I wouldn't have wanted
Thank
to
you.
Miss it, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. And I really hope it encourages more men and more fathers to have a little bit more courage to dive into this experience of connecting with the baby.
I can only say, if you're able to do so, then get an doula. It's really worth it.
Thank you.
Oh, thank
That's
you.
And participate.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Why not participate if you can? Yeah, true. Okay.
Wonderful.
So I think, thank you. This is a good time for us to have a small break. We are going to listen to some information about the Awakening Zone radio, and then we will get back with Maya and Ruben.
Thank you, Ruben.
Welcome.
Hi, this is Jeffrey Hoppe for the Crimson Circle. Thanks for listening to today's program on The Awakening Zone, the international network for empowered human awakening. The Awakening Zone is produced and sponsored by The Crimson Circle on the web at www.crimsoncircle.com. The website is a safe space to experience your spiritual journey without membership or dues and no dogma or rules. It's a gathering place for anyone who is awakening, no matter what their background or beliefs. The Crimson Circle Library contains over 10 years of some of the most insightful and provocative spiritual information available today, with channeled messages from the popular Tobias, Utumi Lal Singh, and Adama St. Germain. Everything in the library is free. Just log in and download it in text, audio, or video formats. On the website, you can also find out about upcoming workshops and events, including tours to sacred and powerful sites around the world. Also, check out the store for a wide selection of home study courses and special topic channels. And finally, see if there's a Crimson Circle certified teacher in your area. They offer classes on subjects ranging from death transitions, spiritual birthing, ascension, clearing energy imbalances, and creating your own reality. With over 500 certifications worldwide, there's likely to be a Crimson Circle teacher near you. When you go to the Crimson Circle website, you'll see right away that you are not alone. There are humans all over the planet who, like you, are discovering the God within. Crimson Circle at www.crimsoncircle.com. Proud sponsors of the Awakening Zone Radio Network. And now, back to today's program.
We are back, and as you are visiting the Awakening Zone, I'd like to call your attention to the calendar page. On most days, there is at least one or more shows that are that are listed. Tomorrow on July 11th at 3 o'clock p.m. Central Daylight Time, for example, Rupert Davis hosts Living and Creating with Soul with guest Marissa Calvi, who is amazing. And next Wednesday on July 16th, there are two shows. The Parenting Sessions is on at noon, and The Breath of Life with Norma and Garrett is that evening at 7 o'clock. And both are great shows and an example of what you're going to find on the Awakening Zone. So we have lost our guests. We are going to come back to them. So if you will just allow me a minute to type in the chat room to have them come back in. We have some more, actually we have some more questions for them. This was quite an amazing experience for me as a doula working with two very, very conscious parents. And again, as they said, even though they knew a lot about the birthing material, they allowed themselves the luxury of having someone assist. And as I work with them, as I work with clients, I always invite them to be sure and assemble the team that is the most perfect for you, that is compatible with what you are choosing, that allows your team to feel into you, and that you are wanting to have a conscious birth. So assembling your team to assist you during pregnancy is very important. Oh, and they have called back, so I will get them back on the line. And are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Oh, hi, Ruben. Thank you. I am going to, if Maya is available, I'm going to ask her a couple of more questions.
Okay, I'll give you Maya.
Okay, thank you, Ruben.
Okay, I'll give you Maya.
That's awesome. They're handing this phone back and forth today. Oh, hi, Maya. Thank you for calling back in. It was so awesome to hear from Ruben. He has such a beautiful way of expressing his experience through that, and I know from working with you how much that support and co-creatorship you felt during all
Absolutely.
Of that time
yep.
with him.
And, I mean, he is amazing. I just married him. He is amazing.
Congratulations.
I have to give the credit where credit is due. He really did a fantastic job.
And yes, he did. Just from my perspective, he was willing. He was there. And Anil, your little one, has a connection with both of you.
Absolutely.
And I loved his story about, and his insight about when the baby would come to him on his own, and they would have their own special little times together. That and it's because Ruben was willing and open to receive that, that those beautiful experiences happened. So Maya, one of the things that I think people would be very interested in as part of your experience is that we worked with you for a while, and this is difficult to do just overnight, but we worked with you for a while in setting up what I call a new partnership with your body. For many people in pregnancy and the whole experience of childbirth, they get pregnant, and they kind of just wait for their body to go into labor, and that's when they deliver. And there's nothing wrong with that. And this is not a judgment on giving birth that way. This is more of a let us tell you about this way, another way of giving birth. And that is working with your body. So you set up a new dynamic with your body. And you come into such partnership with your body that your body learns then to take cues from you. Your body follows what you're choosing. And could you talk a little bit about that, particularly with your beginning of your labor and going into delivery?
Yes, absolutely. That was the, I suppose that was one of the most amazing experiences for me, because my body did something that I didn't know that it could.
Yes.
I had no idea. I had no experience. I had given birth once before, but it was a different experience. And this time, I felt I was ready to do it in a different way so that I call the shots. It's my body. I love it. I respect it. And I wanted to have a good experience. Something easy, something graceful, something that wouldn't be too awful, because like well, most people know that giving birth can be rather uncomfortable, let's put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to, uncomfortable, I suppose it's an understatement, but intense, uncomfortable. I didn't want that. I didn't have it the previous time either. It wasn't much more than intense or uncomfortable, so it was a good experience that I had, that I already had. But this time, I suppose I did something, I'm sorry, I'm slightly distracted by a little toddler here. So yeah, this time I wanted to do it my way so that I can have the best potential for me. And so we had chosen the date, and somehow we had to, I'm sorry, we'll deal with the toddler first.
Yes.
If you can get me back on track, super daddies, picking up the children. If you can get me back on track, please.
Oh, yes. And so working in this new dynamic with your body, so the time is approaching. Let's set up the scenario the way that it kind of played out. So you're approaching to where it's beginning to be the date that you and Reuben have filled in and chosen to bring in the baby, and
yes,
your body
so
is
chose,
not
yeah.
your and your body's not in labor, and Reuben has pressed his go button. In other words, he's open, he's willing, he's ready to go for it. He has no resistance at all to bringing in the baby on the date that you've chosen. And I remember conversation with you. Mm-hmm. You didn't have resistance, but you weren't quite ready to press that go button.
Yeah.
And it's my feeling that because you instinctively knew that you would change the dynamic with your body, and once you did, there was no turning back. And it was going to...
That's right, that's right.
That it was going to go, and I remember the conversation really well. You said, I just need a moment. I just need a couple of...
Yeah, you know in my head, I was going, because we had, we'd been breathing at 9 o'clock in the evening, and
uh-huh.
Reuben said, he's ready, he's good, he's green, he's go. And I was like, almost panicking, like, oh no, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So how can this be? How can this be? I mean, he's ready, and I'm not. And so I decided, okay, we'll just wait until the day turns onto the 4th. And I set that as my own personal time limit, so to say that. When it's midnight, it's the 4th of April. That's the birthing date. And whatever happens after that is birthing. And I had some folding to do. I wasn't quite ready with the baby clothes.
That's right, you said.
I wanted to fold these baby clothes that I had washed and ironed and So I went into the birthing room, which is now the nursery, so to say, nappy changing area. I went there and I folded the baby clothes. And then I went at midnight, I went outside. It was raining or drizzling, soft drizzling. And I noticed that this week-long massive storm had just stopped. It was quiet and it was drizzling. And I was standing there and I thought, well, this is it. I am going to tell my body it's okay to give birth now. It's good. We're ready. Everything is done. The baby's body is ready. My body is ready. And as I was standing there, I noticed a few thoughts of resistance coming in and saying, look, lady, you can't control your body like this. And I said, I think I can. And I can feel the nerves now as I speak, because it was a powerful moment. And I stood there, look, I can. This is my body. We are all ready. And this is the day. So I took a really good deep breath and then another one. And then I said quietly to my body, go.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Yeah, that was wow. In an hour, the contractions began. And we were breathing and resting in the birthing room with Ruben. And I was in labor.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And this for me was like following a TV show where it was like coming to the series finale, because for me, I'm half a world away, but I am only physically half of a world away, because I am energetically, I'm right there. I'm right there beside you. And so I'm getting ready to go on a trip. So I'm doing some ironing of my own, and I have the laptop open next to me, and I'm ironing, and then I start to get the messages, because I know it's 8 hours earlier for me, but I know it's after midnight for you. So I know you, and I know Ruben, and I know how clear your choices have been. There was not a doubt, even in my mind, which the mind is the last place to accept this. Even in my mind, there was no question that I was going to be hearing in the next few hours or however long it was going to be that this baby was here, because it was such a clear and conscious choice that you made. So I'm getting, so you did connect with me in the beginning. You were sending me messages on, so every time that would come up, it was like, oh, there's another one. And then I will say that Maya got to the point where it just wasn't working for her, that she was typing messages for me. So then, because then she was really, really in labor, and Ruben
was... It didn't take long.
No. And Ruben was, then took over and said, it's me. I'm typed, yes, that she is fully delivering this baby now.
Yes.
So you talked about this new energy dynamic that you had with your body, where you really made choices and your body responded. Mm-hmm. How do you feel that it worked with you during labor as well?
Well, to begin with, it was relatively fast. I mean, it's hard to compare these things because each body is different.
Sure.
And each body goes into labor in a different way, and depending on the choices you made with your body and all that. And sometimes it's not about choices, it's just what you inherited and what you have. So it's hard to compare, but to me, it felt like it was relatively quick. and it wasn't too painful. I mean, I can deal with pain in a way that it ceases to be pain. It's just intense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intense, and I keep breathing, and the more intense it gets, the more I breathe. So to me, that was kind of logical. And so I'm breathing. It was relatively fast. And then at some point, I said to Ruben, okay, now we call the midwives. And I wanted to delay that a bit because it was early hours. And I thought, well, I better get the midwives in well-rested. So so I wanted to call as late as possible. And they said it's going to take an hour for them to arrive. And I was like, oh, well. Okay, this is going really fast, so I hope you can make it really fast. And while Ruben was making the phone call, they arrived in 4 to 5 minutes. And,
yes. I'm going to interrupt you here and just say, as you're a doula, when I realized how much you were in labor and that you hadn't called the midwives yet and I knew they were an hour out, that's the part where you're watching the movie and then you just start eating the popcorn really fast because it's like, oh, my gosh. And, but still, I mean, it was like watching a movie. You know it's going to turn out fine in the end, but that for me was the really exciting part, like, oh, they haven't called the midwife. But in your wisdom, you did it at the perfect time, and
absolutely.
They probably drove faster than they maybe have
they
driven.
They probably drove a bit faster when Ruben said, no, she's not going to speak to you on the phone right now. She's in labor.
Yes. But, yes, it was exciting.
I mean, I knew it, and I wasn't worried one bit because I had also prepared myself and my consciousness so that I can also give birth without them. And they had told me that one little piece of information that I needed to calm my mind down for the process, I knew that should the baby come before they are here, they said, just dry the baby and keep it warm. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, that's it then. And
they said, do nothing, just wait.
And it was not a problem. But they arrived so that they had, I don't know, 15 minutes time to do this checkup and check the baby and do what they do with these measurement devices. And then I said, okay, we're going in a different kind of breathing now. And they said, well, that was a good timing then. Let's get to it. And I still don't remember how long it was, but the actual labor was maybe an hour.
It wasn't long,
but I mean, I know babies can be born in 20 minutes and all that, but for me, that was very quick. Our first son was a lot slower. And it was at a good pace. There weren't any complications. It all went well and smoothly. Of course, it's uncomfortable. You're giving birth and you're splitting your body in two halves. But it was okay. It was good. I could feel that Ruben was, he was fully in control of the situation. It was safe. I did not have to think about one thing. I could trust these midwives, and I could trust that Ruben would take care of the rest. And then I also felt that we had Kathleen there, your support. It was perfect. How can you... I mean, I didn't have to worry about anything, and that's exactly what I wanted. I didn't want to have an experience that I have to keep half my consciousness on, say, a toddler or unwashed dishes or anything else. It was it was all perfect. And the toddler, he was sleeping. This
is
also
that,
what
that
we
is
wanted.
A little... That's a little miracle in of itself, but that was an important piece to you. I mean, you did not because you were giving birth at home, you were also sensitive to him and what kind of experience that might be for him, seeing you in this intense experience. And
yes.
plus you wanted, you really did, like you said, you didn't want your attention split. You really wanted this to be about this child coming in and this landing for this being,
yes.
and not to have your attention split. So you really created it in a beautiful way of pressing that go button right after midnight, because then Big Brother, who's not so big, I mean, he's still little,
yes.
but beyond being able to really understand what's going on, young enough to where this would, he could not have really understood. But he was so asleep, and that was a beautiful part of this creation, is having you and Reuben, really your total focus and attention be on this birth.
Yes.
That was good, and I will tell you that it was one of the most sacred experiences I've ever had, not physically being in the same room with him, because it only takes a breath now to remember, but I could feel when this one was coming so, so close. And all I could do was breathe. And I created a space in my home. And it was very dark. Of course, it was, you know, it was after midnight, my time. And so it was the fourth for me as well. But Reuben, talk about handling things. He was attending to Maya, keeping the breathing going, and still had the awareness to send me messages and saying, she's crowning, and we see the head, and he's here. And it was one of the most sacred and special experiences that I've had with birthing, to be able to know that I was there with you and yet half a world away.
Yes.
So I really, really thank you for allowing me to be part of that. And it was one of the, I kid about the popcorn in a movie, but it was like one of the best, most exciting things. And then to have this beautiful ending to this story. And I didn't think, and I tried to kind of bow out and just say, okay, just in a day or two, I would love to see the baby. And so I told Reuben goodbye, and I got into bed. And of course, my husband, who feels everything, had tears in his eyes, because he could feel it too. We could all, you know, we could just feel this. And I said, we have a baby. And he says, I know. And so I was just starting to go to sleep, and then the sky rang. So I jumped out of bed and opened my screen to see this baby so happy and content on his mom, and a mom that looked so peaceful, and a dad that was just radiating. It was one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen. It's an image that will stay with me forever. And you talk about Reuben and what he was doing in labor for you. I think that's really an important point that you bring up, how supported that you were. And you know, just if you could just speak to that just very quickly, just kind of even maybe just repeat, so people listening in really understand what he did for you during labor and delivery.
I don't know consciously. I mean, because I was in labor. And
yeah.
But he was, I mean, he's amazing. I mean, this is his forte. This is his specialty. Creating a safe space. He was breathing. He was rock solid and the support. He knew exactly what he was doing and how to do it. I don't know what else to say. That's basic, because it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is.
He was present.
Yes, thank you. It's exactly, he knew what he was doing, and energetically and in every way allowed you to focus on that moment of that delivery. So, no, you've expressed it beautifully. Thank you so much. We are actually going to take a very, very short break, and then I would, if Maya, if you'll stay on the line, I would just ask you one last question, and also Ruben. And thank you so much to both of you. And just if you'll just stay on the line for just a moment, we'll just take this short break. If you would like to have more information about the work of the Spiritual Doula, I invite you to visit our website at adoulas.org. This is a website of the International Society of Adoulas, where you can not only find helpful information, but there's a directory there. So if you're interested in finding an adoula, you can go to the directory and find them all over the world. And if you are in the chat room right now, you can notice the banner to the right of the chat room, and later you can click on that, and that will take you to that website. I would suggest finding an adoula in your language, but it doesn't have to be in your country, because most adoulas will work with you long distance, like I've described working with Maya and Ruben. So I invite you to visit adoulas.org. So we have talked about this whole experience, and the one thing that I would love for you to talk about, just a few comments about, is now that your baby's here, going back to that time of delivery, what was the feeling around him as he landed? How do you feel this experience was for him?
It's still me. I think this is actually a question that Ruben can answer better.
Hand on the phone.
Ruby?
Oh, I appreciate them handing the phone off like this.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
I didn't hear the question.
You were able to fill the question?
I did not hear the question.
Okay. Maya described a lot about your role and how you supported in every way possible for labor and delivery. And she wanted us to ask you, she said, this is a better question for Ruben, but what do you feel the feeling was for Emil when he landed here during his birth? In other words, how do you feel that the experience was for him when he was born?
I think it was quite a smooth experience with hardly any or absolutely no harsh energy jolts or I didn't feel them. It was quite peaceful. It was quite painful for my adolescent stretch, of course, but I think for Emil it was really easy. I watched him come out. Yeah, opened his eyes, and there he was.
And he,
quite different from what it was with Oliver, our first child. for whom I, at the time of birth, I felt an energy shock so hard that it almost knocked me off my socks.
Mm. But it felt quite different with this birth, more of a smooth transition coming in.
I felt he was really, really, really close when it was time to occupy the body, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
And you just slid in, and that was it.
And for the first hour or so after his birth, how did he continue to feel this way for you?
Absolutely. He didn't cry at all. He did not show any signs of distress. He found the breast really fast and started drinking. Really, it was easy.
Quite content?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and I could even see that. Did your midwives make any comment about him or how he was? Do you remember?
I think the word they used was sage.
Say it again.
Sage in French, that just means he's a very quiet, they said.
Very peaceful, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I seem to remember talking to you that that they did make several comments, that they noticed that this was a very calm and peaceful birth for him. And that is a beautiful potential that comes in when you have connected with your child before birth, and you and Maya guided him in every step of the way. And even at that moment, as you said, he was right there, and all it took was just that final breath for him.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, beautiful. Thank you so very, very much for being our guest today. Your story is a beautiful example.
I think it also has to do with that, what a good of an Abdullah you are.
Oh, cool. That was very kind. Thank you. Thank
so you really told us about that you can choose a date. And that was an experience we didn't have with our first birth,
mm-hmm.
in which we also had an Abdullah, but we didn't know about that you can set the date.
Mm-hmm.
So he was I think almost a month late. And then they had to induce him. And
oh, with your first child, yes.
Yes, and I think that at the moment of birth, he was, so to say, quickly woken up from his bed or something because he hadn't noticed.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, thank you. You, the two of you were such a beautiful partnership through this. You made very conscious choices. You were very clear on what it is that you were choosing. And that was so, the invitation was so clear to this little one to come in and join you. So I thank you so much. We thank you for being here as our guest today. Please thank Maya as well for sharing. And it is always not only interesting, but it creates an awareness of this type of birth, a new energy birthing, and you two really chose that for yourself with bringing in Emil. So thank you very much to the both of you. And
yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for this.
having us on the show.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Reta, that brings us, I think, to just a beautiful end to our show today. If there's nothing that you would like to add to that, or...
Nothing I would like to add. I'm listening to Maya and Ruben and their story of Aeneas' birth. I think it's a beautiful example for other parents too. And I hope to hear more stories like this in the future.
Yes. Well, thank you. And on behalf of Reta and me, we thank you for joining us today. And if you enjoyed our show, we invite you to check out the other shows on the Awakening Zone at awakeningzone.com. And there's also the Awakening Zone Academy, and there's a current list of streaming classes there. So just another beautiful way to experience what awakeningzone.com has to offer. So to our listeners, we thank you so much. We thank Ruben and Maya for sharing their experience and for all those that supported them in this amazing story of childbirth with ease and grace. So we thank you, and until next time, we'll see you next time. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Awakening Zone Radio Network, offering insights and inspiration for our evolving consciousness.